All right, so we're going to have a chat with your favorite doctor, Dr. Abhijit Karwi of the University Woo! Health Network. He took some time out of what we know is his crazy schedule because he already is on the show with us almost every single day. And what he did was actually pretty amazing. He took some time to chat on Zoom with some second and third graders of Holy Angels School to explain what is like and take questions with them about the pandemic. So the doctor joins us now. Thank you so much for coming on the show again.
It's always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Can you tell us first how this idea sort of came about? Like, was it your idea to do this with the kids?
No, I can't take credit for that. You know, one of the benefits of, you know, being in the media spotlight is that a lot of people get a chance to recognize you and they seek you out. And this was my first opportunity to formally speak to a group of kids. So it's actually Our Lady of Peace is the school. Okay. And one of the teachers and administrators contacted me and asked if I'd be interested. And I jumped at the opportunity. I think kids are often neglected in all of this. We seem to think that they're fine with online learning and that their parents can do the job adequately enough to explain what's going on. But I think kids have a lot of interesting, important questions to ask. And I was thrilled to have the opportunity to spend the time hearing what they have to say and learning from each other.
I think a question a lot of parents have, and I mean, certainly parents listening right now know the answer to this question, but I think myself as a parent, you know, when it comes to young kids, I think a lot of us think to ourselves, well, they're probably oblivious to everything, right? They're just looking at tablets. They don't even really know what's going on. Were you surprised at the level of understanding of what's going on in the world that you got from these kids, or were they oblivious?
No, they weren't oblivious, and I wasn't really surprised. And, you know, I have the benefit of being a father myself, and I have three kids that are you know, under the age of 10, and they ask me questions all the time. And so I'm a bit prepped for the situation, knowing that kids worry about COVID-19. They don't understand a lot about, you know, the threat, what it's going to mean for them in terms of going back to school. What's their school environment going to look like? Are they going to be able to hang out with their friends? What's safe? You know, these are all things we're thinking about as parents and adults. But for them to actually articulate it in their own words and in their own terms, I think was very useful for me to hear and for me to give them an opportunity to share that, I think was important.
My nieces are, one of my nieces is actually in grade three. They call it the big germ. That's how they refer to it.
Really?
Yeah, no, that's what they draw pictures of it and they, you know, social distance things. It's really cute. But also kind of, you know, it's sad that these kids have to think about those things. So I'm just curious, Doctor, were there any questions that surprised you? You know, it surprised me how much my nieces absorbed. I just didn't think they were really taking all that in. So were you surprised by anything you got asked?
Yeah, I was. I mean, one of the questions which came from a rather precocious and adorable young boy was, you know, is coronavirus going to end the world? You know, and that was really sad because, you know, you might think that's just an outrageous question. But, you know, I think it speaks to the idea of just how overwhelming and scary and maybe misunderstood this whole situation is, especially for a young child. You know, so I spoke to him about the pandemic of 1918 and how it was just so much more scary in terms of its scale, and told him that we survived that as a human race, and that we're in a much better space now because of, you know, all of the healthcare resources, the science, the education, the ability to communicate with one another. You know, those are all really helpful skills and strengths that we now have to be able to combat this. Even more so than we did over 100 years ago. So I think he was reassured by that, and it helped put in context for him and other children that, you know, this isn't something that's going to be absolutely catastrophic. And I think it's important for us to help remind our kids that this is eventually something that's going to go away. It's not going to dominate every aspect of our lives, which has really been the case for the last few months.
Not that you don't already have a jam-packed schedule, but a number of people at 71010 are wondering if you're available for private Zoom chats with their kids. So maybe what we should do, maybe I'll just ask you, what is some advice you would give to parents that essentially want to have a conversation with their kids about what's going on right now? What would you recommend?
You know, the simplest advice that I can give is, you know, try not to sugarcoat things too much, and provide information that kids can understand at their level of education. You know, don't try and hide the truth. I think kids are very keenly aware of when people being dishonest or withholding information. We don't want to overwhelm kids, but we also want to be truthful and honest with them. So, you know, take the time to talk to your kids, explain things to them. There's some really great resources online in terms of cartoon graphics and short videos that are helpful. And just talk to your kids. Don't assume that they don't care about it, that they don't want to learn about it, and that they're too scared to learn about it. I think if you spend time doing that, it'll serve everybody better. And ironically, I think it lessens the anxiety in the household in general. When your kids understand more of what's going on, you know, they'll act out less, more harmless with their siblings, with you. I think it just makes for a better situation all the way around.
I want to, while you're here, play something for you because, you know, you've spoke earlier this week, and I'll be honest with you, I hear it in my head all the time. You were essentially saying on The Rush, you know, we're right back where we started, and, you know, there's still so much work to be done. I'm curious to see what you think of these comments from the Prime Minister today.
We're not out of the woods. The pandemic is still threatening the health and safety of Canadians. Across the country, and especially in areas where we continue to see large numbers of cases, of new cases, as well as in places like long-term care facilities and seniors' homes, the situation remains serious.
Now, we just finished talking about Cafe T.O. Essentially, the mayor is looking to open up patios for everybody to get out more. We're talking about short-term rentals being available again tomorrow, and then you have the Prime Minister saying that. So maybe a little bit of mixed messaging, but I'm curious just your thoughts hearing that now.
Yeah, I don't think it's actually mixed messaging. I think that we have to temper vigilance with reason in terms of what are responsible ways in which we can allow people to interact. There's a limit to how long we can keep people completely apart in every context. And I think there's room to be able to do that in a safe manner. This isn't rocket science. The most heavily affected areas in Canada are the most heavily populated, particularly in Ontario and Quebec. They've done a better job in BC and Alberta in terms of the uptake and messaging from people adhering to distancing and being able to test and trace more adequately. And it bears fruit in terms of, you know, the caseload that's emerging from those provinces. It just pales in comparison to Ontario and Quebec, where we're at 400, 500 plus cases a day, and we've been there for a while. So I think we have to be especially cautious in the GTA, in Montreal, to make sure that any plan that we're devising for easing restrictions is done very, very mindfully. It's done with the utmost of caution with respect to public messaging being very, very high on the priority list, and for people to stay tuned and to stay informed and not to, you know, encourage themselves with the thought that this is somehow over and that it's only restricted to long-term care facilities and certain neighborhoods. We all have to be very, very careful and vigilant so that we can improve upon things. We want to be where BC and Alberta is, and we want to be where New Zealand is at some point in the foreseeable future. But that's going to take a lot of work.
Doctor, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it.
It's always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.